This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 20th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, Amy Guida will discuss what happens when someone swears on the air. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, today's news. Urbana's new Public Arts Commission is still being organized, so the City Council has gone ahead and approved a public arts program for the coming fiscal year. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Outdoor sculptures for Philo Road, an arts contest for high school students, mini grants of up to $500 for arts and cultural activities downtown. Those are just some of the things planned in Urbana's $115,000 public arts program for the 2008-09 fiscal year. Alderwoman Danielle Chenoweth says the city's Public Arts Commission may revise the program, subject to council approval, once it starts meeting. But she says last night's council vote helps get Urbana's public arts program up and running on schedule.
This is basically a way for them to hit the ground running so that we can start to realize the benefits of a public arts program starting this summer, instead of having to wait another 6 months to a year to really get going.
Some of the program's funding will come from a new liquor license category approved by the city council last night. Fees from the new T3 licenses for selling liquor at private, non-charitable, festival-type events will be paid into the city's public arts fund. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Illinois' treasurer says former owners of a downtown Springfield hotel cooked the books to avoid paying millions of dollars they owe to the state. Democratic Treasurer Alexi Janulius says he's forwarded results of a new audit to both state and federal prosecutors. The Abraham Lincoln Hotel was part of a controversial state loan that only required payments when a profit was made. Janulius says the previous owners, including Republican fundraiser Bill Cellini of Springfield, schemed to hide money and avoid settling up with taxpayers.
From limited and incomplete financial records, the report helps piece together a snarled web of deceit that reflects the unabashed arrogance of the hotel's owners. The hotel served as a money hole for Mr. Cellini's corporation, which went to great lengths to hide profits and manipulate revenues to avoid its financial obligation to the state.
Janulius refuses to call the actions criminal. He says that's up to authorities to decide. The state took over ownership of the hotel recently and plans to auction it off later this year. The treasurer says the hotel has turned a profit since it's been in state hands. Attempts to reach Cellini were unsuccessful. The secretary says he's out of the country. His attorney has denied any wrongdoing involving the hotel. Members of Illinois' horse racing industry say gaming expansion is the way to pay for a statewide construction plan. Jenna Dooley has more.
Horsemen and several lawmakers say adding another casino, along with the addition of slot machines at horse tracks, will bring in nearly $2 billion. The money will be used to build and repair state roads, bridges, and schools. Chicago Representative Bob Malaro says it's the preferred way to fund these projects from the voters' perspective.
No one's really fond of gaming. Who is? But I will tell you this. Put on there, do you want your income tax doubled or you don't want slots at racetracks? You'll see about 95% saying slots at racetracks, leave our taxes alone.
Illinois leaders have discussed several revenue plans, including an income tax increase and leasing the state lottery. Illinois has yet to get agreement on a construction program since Governor Blagojevich took office. I'm Jenna Dooley.
Champaign School Board wants to make some energy-efficient upgrades in some of its buildings and use energy cost savings to pay for them. Some of the changes were discussed at last night's Unit 4 board meeting. Board member Christine Shalifou says the practice known as performance contracting involves bringing in a specialized contractor to recommend these more efficient cost-saving measures. The initial work includes the addition of air conditioning, lighting, and a new boiler at Garden Hills Elementary School and the two Leonard changes at Centennial High School. Shalifou says the air conditioning of Garden Hills is being looked upon as a test case with hopes of adding it to other buildings soon.
Can we do this for a reasonable amount of money and look at getting one school done this summer? And if this works, look at doing more schools in the future. So we're really doing it in conjunction with this long-range planning so that we can see if there's ways that we can do this within our limited budget.
Shalifou says much of the equipment at Centennial is in need of being replaced, and several other buildings will soon require boiler and lighting replacements. The work on the two buildings is not expected to exceed $100,000. Shalifou says the energy savings is estimated to be around $75,000. Arizona Senator and presumptive Republican nominee John McCain and Democratic frontrunner Senator Barack Obama continue their back and forth over Iran. Ben Calhoun has that story.
During a speech in Chicago yesterday, McCain first criticized Obama for saying that compared to the former Soviet Union, the threat posed by Iran is, quote, tiny. McCain said he agrees that Iran is a smaller threat, but took issue with Obama's choice of words.
The threat the government of Iran poses is anything but tiny.
More important, McCain continued to criticize Obama's belief that if the U.S. met with leaders of the Soviet Union, it should be willing to meet with Iranian leaders.
A summit meeting with the President of the United States, which is what Senator Obama proposes, is the most prestigious card we have to play in international diplomacy. It is not a card to be played lightly.
Responding, Obama says Iran is a grave threat, but says it takes, quote, courage and confidence to talk to our enemies. Obama also says the threat of Iran has grown because of what he describes as, quote, Bush-McCain foreign policy in Iraq. I'm Ben Calhoun.
Attorneys hope to begin opening statements today in the case of a former Central Illinois police officer charged in four rapes. McLean County Judge Robert Freitag spent Monday handling several pretrial motions in Jeff Pilo's case. Pilo has pleaded not guilty to 35 charges in the rapes, which happened in Bloomington between 2002 and 2005. He resigned last November, more than a year after his arrest. Pilo was a Bloomington police sergeant during those years. Prosecutors have said Pilo stalked the women, then raped them in their homes. Fewer ex-offenders on parole are being arrested and convicted of crimes, and Governor Rod Blagojevich says a drug treatment program at a LaSalle County prison is helping. Illinois Department of Corrections says convictions are down about 18% and arrests dropped 23% among parolees from the 2004 fiscal year to 2007. The governor praises a drug treatment program at the Sheridan Correctional Center, a closed prison that reopened in January of 2004 to deal with inmates and substance abuse. The commission's report says Sheridan graduates had lower recidivism rates. A prison watchdog group says Illinois doesn't have enough programs like the one at Sheridan that also focuses on counseling and job training services. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. What happens when someone swears on the air? The answer is that it depends. And even that answer could change once the Supreme Court decides the case of the fleeting expletives. Commentator Amy Guida explains in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News.
There is a word in the English language that some believe is so vulgar, so shocking, and so stinging that it's not fit for tender and even not so tender ears. The word has one syllable and it starts with an F. No, I can't say it. To answer a question posed by someone on the internet, who even determines it's a bad word to begin with? The Federal Communications Commission, my friend, the FCC. A television news anchor in New York City used that particular swear word on the air a few days ago. She said it during a news break when she didn't know she was live. Her mistake caused excited consternation. Some suggested that she be fired. Others came to her defense. The New York Times pointed out that the word has lost its shock and sting because one can hear it if one walks the streets of New York for a mere 4 minutes. I sat in a New York deli with my kids a couple of weekends ago, and a man at the next table used it and its variants in conversation at least 20 times, and that's no exaggeration. He wasn't even angry. Nonetheless, the FCC has decided that the word is profane and potentially indecent, and federal law prohibits any obscene, indecent, or profane language by means of radio communication. That includes broadcast television, but it doesn't include cable. That's why the F word and its kin often make their way into cable programming when you least expect it. And when would you least expect it? The FCC suggests that that would be during the hours of 6 in the morning to 10 at night. That's the time that FCC commissioners have set aside for programming that is neither profane nor indecent, a sort of family hour times 16. In other words, if a station broadcasts certain swear words during that time, the station could face a fine if a listener or a viewer complained. And complain they do. There are groups out there on the prowl for swear words and indecency, with FCC complaint forms at the ready. If you don't believe me, just ask the musician Bono. During the Golden Globe Awards broadcast a few years back, he took the stage to proclaim that his award was absolutely brilliant. But he included, as NBC put it, an intensifier between those two words. The intensifier started with an F. The FCC says that it received hundreds of complaints after the broadcast, and in response, it found multiple stations in violation of the law for airing Bono's excited exclamation. Trouble is that such fleeting expletives hadn't violated the law in the past. Until a few years ago, the FCC reasoned that stations had no control over live broadcasts because they weren't like scripted TV. But Bono and others like him, Cher for one, made the FCC change its mind. In a new drive to cleanse the air, the agency has warned stations to filter their live broadcasts by means of a time delay or face fines for forbidden utterances. Now the United States Supreme Court has taken the case. Despite all that, the New York television news anchor who swore on the air recently has a little to worry about. Her slip of the tongue occurred after 10 p.m., and that means that the FCC won't take action, even though it may receive complaints. Had she used the curse word just a mere 30 minutes before, it's possible that her station would have faced a hefty fine. It's that seemingly arbitrary distinction, and others, that only certain swear words are profane or indecent, and that profanity and indecency is in the eye and ear of the regulatory beholder, that leads some to be shocked and stung when they hear another certain F-word, FCC. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. And the forecast for East Central Illinois, mostly cloudy, a slight chance of showers this morning, then a chance of showers this afternoon, the high around 65. Becoming mostly clear tonight, the low around 45. Mostly sunny on Wednesday, the high around 65. Mostly cloudy tomorrow night, the low around 48 degrees. And partly sunny Thursday, the high around 68. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, May 20th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.